Okay. Hopefully it stays up there. Can everyone see that okay? Okay. This is a map of the current Middle East, and we're going to be talking about a lot of these countries today as we look at Ezekiel chapter 38. And they've got the modern names on them. They're going to have names. Is that better? Okay. But I do have my trusty pointer here, and I'll try and point things out to you as we go through this. So if you have your Bibles, then we'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38. Oftentimes this particular chapter is referred to as the prophecy of Ezekiel's war, or the war that's coming in the Middle East. This Middle East Eastern war has not occurred yet. It is prophesied to occur. But as we're going to study this afternoon, we're going to take a quick overview of the nations that are actually going to be involved in the war. And we will see that for the first time in history, these nations are coming together in trade and in support and in alliance with one another. Never before in the history of the world have all of these nations done this. At the heart of this particular gathering together of many of these nations, as we looked at last Wednesday night, is the Islamic faith. Many of these nations are Muslim countries, and many but not all have Arab roots. We see that the major three countries don't have Arab roots. So they've got they are different, and we'll take a look at that in just a moment as well. So let's begin by just looking at chapter 38, and we'll read verses 1 through 16 of chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaw, and I shall bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even the great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his hands in the house of Togarmah of the north quarter, and all his bands and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard against them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt descend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your bands and many people with thee. This saith the Lord God, it shall all come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into my mind, and thou shalt think of evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from the place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud of cover, the land that shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, therefore before their eyes. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. Help us to see that the events that are foretold by Ezekiel could very well be being put into place even the day in which we live. As we look at world events and specifically what's happening in the Middle East and all of the things that have been occurring, Lord, that this could be the precursor in what Jesus was talking about would be things that would be there before you would come about to deal with the nation of Israel in the last days. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see in this passage, there are basically two sides to this war. One is a confederacy of nations, of which it starts out, it says Gog and Magog, a ruler and a nation. And they are going to be the chief head of this, but they're also going to have these that are going to be aligned with them. And they're going to be on one side. The other side is going to be the land of Israel, the mountains of Israel, the people of Israel, and they shall be, as it says in the word that we just read, living in unwalled villages in peace. Now, you're saying, well, that isn't Israel today. Israel today is not living in peace. And they've got defenses all over. So what could be happening? Well, the things could be putting into place for this to take place. I grew up going to prophecy conferences and listening to speakers talk about passages like this ever since I was in my teen years. And as you looked at it, things just didn't seem right. They're talking about these nations, and you go back and you look at in the book of Genesis at the table of nations, and you begin to try and determine what nations he's speaking of in this particular passage. And in the history of the world, none of these nations that he's speaking about have really been aligned with one another. As a matter of fact, that sometimes they've even been at odds with one another. But something amazing has something very interesting has been happening in the last 10 to 15 years. And things are beginning to realign themselves in the Middle East, and nations are beginning to realign themselves. For the first time in history in the Middle East, you have seen, as we talked a little bit on Wednesday night, the nations of Russia, Turkey, Persia, what is referred to here as Ethiopia, and Libya, being aligned together in unity. They had never been that before. Persia had never been aligned with Russia as an ally. And we see that Turkey, although they had dealings with Russia, and Russia had been in there beginning a few years ago to build a dam for them, had been in there to try and get ports into the Mediterranean off of some of their sea lanes. We see that all of a sudden today in the news you hear that Turkey and Russia are not real friendly, but yet they are friendly, and there's things that are happening. Let's just take a look at these cities, see these nations, see where they are, see what God says about them. First of all, he talks about Gog and the land of Magog. A lot of Bible teachers believe that Gog is the word that really is refers to the ruler of the people of this land of Magog. And the land of Magog is referred to as up north. Last time, if you go and look at and study off of the table of nations in the book of Genesis and try and determine where Gog and Magog, where Magog can be, it's referred to as the land of the Scythians. And the land of the Scythians is up in here. As we talked about on Wednesday night, the land, this is part of Russia. These are all the Stan countries, but they're all part of Russia. Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, you have Kazakhstan, and then Russia itself. But all of these, they were part of the original Soviet Union of a few years ago, and as well as the Soviet Union spread over into what is today where the war is going on between Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine is east of Russia, and it's up in this area in here. And Ukraine is really the breadbasket of Russia. But it is not part of Russia today. As that war rages, Russia has been being depleted of its army and being depleted of its armaments in that war. And they figure that over 1 million Russian soldiers have been killed in that war. But at the same time, we see that Persia, which is Iran here on the map, and you know what's going on in Iran today. You have the mullahs that are in charge of Iran. The people of Iran want freedom. Some of the people of Iran want to go back to the former king of Iran or Persia. And others want to establish really a more socialistic communistic government. And so there's still a lot of turmoil, even if the mullahs are taken out of place. Islam wouldn't be the main deal, but they'd still have to determine what is going to be the main government and ruling leadership of our nation. At the same time, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, there is a relationship between Russia and Iran right now, between the two leaderships. As you see, the Caspian Sea goes between Kazakhstan and Persia, and what Iran. And as of right now, the U.S. is preventing a lot of shipping coming in from the south here on the southern shore of Iran. And at the same time, the U.S. has a base in Iraq, and even though there is Muslim ties between the two nations, there is also fighting between the two nations, or there has been in the past, and the U.S. does hold some ability to hold this border here, and so it's difficult to get supplies in because they have cut off the supply route. Iran used to have a supply route that ran all the way through here, over through Syria, and over into what is would be right here, Lebanon, and that supply route is how they supplied the Hezbollah and their army. The U.S. and Israel have cut off basically most of that supply route. They can't supply those goods anymore. And we also know that Iran had been supporting down here in what is referred to on this map as Palestine, but it's really this little spot right there, and that's Gaza. It's not that large. Gaza is about that large from there to there. And that's where Hamas was. And Iran had been supplying them as well, and they had a supply chain through tunnels and various means. Israel and the U.S. have cut off a lot of that. So that has been cut off. But what has happened in the meantime, Turkey, which if you look further down, in chapter 38. It refers to, in verse 6, Togarmah and his bands of the north. And it also talks about the fact that Togarmah, which is really Turkey, and those that are his bands. And so that would be his allies. They are going to be desirous to attack Israel from the north. Today, there's the leader of Turkey is Erdogan. Erdogan is he dresses Western. Sometimes he talks Western. Turkey's in alliance with NATO, so people think they're Western. They used to be Western in their philosophies, but they become very, very Muslim, and he has become very anti-Israel. Very anti-Israel. And he desires, even the leaders of Israel are saying, Iran isn't the threat it once was because of what Israel and the United States have done against Iran and their armaments and their leadership. But they said the next great threat we have is Turkey. And Turkey is a real threat because Erdogan is saber-rattling. He desires, he wants to deal with Israel. And as I mentioned on Wednesday, one of the things that Turkey is doing, there's an international agreed-upon seaway that the oceans, I believe it's 7 miles out, that belongs to that nation, or that's that nation's waters. You go beyond that, it's international waters. What Erdogan has been doing is moving the borders. I just listened to a guy who was talking about Erdogan and Turkey, and he says in order to understand Turkey, you have to look for maps with borders, because he says they're always changing the borders. And they're moving the borders out, they're moving the borders down, they're moving the borders up. They want their land to go into further into the Black Sea, further into the Mediterranean Sea, further down the coast here. And they want it to go in even where Israel is. They want their land to start to impede upon international waters that really are Israel's waters. A few years ago, one of Israel's prime ministers, Naftali Bennett, actually gave Turkey the rights to some of the natural gas that was Israel's natural gas under the Mediterranean Sea. And now Turkey wants it all. And at the same time, you've got some other interesting things happening in the world today that could lead to this invasion. You have Russia. Russia's main income in the past has been through natural gas and oil. And they have sold their natural gas to Europe. Under the Biden administration, the beginning of the Biden administration, there was a large natural gas line running under the Black Sea all the way over into Europe from Russia. And Russia was supplying a major portion of the natural gas. That natural gas line was exploded and destroyed. It never was said who actually did it, but the only people in the world that probably had the ability to do it was the United States Navy SEALs. And never was said that the U.S. did it, but everybody often wondered if they didn't. But anyway, what happened is, it cut off a huge chunk of potential ability of Russia to blackmail Europe, to control Europe, and to make money off of Europe, because their main gas line had been destroyed, and so they couldn't get their gas. What happened, Israel all of a sudden discovered all these natural gas lines, and they started putting a natural gas line up here that was going to go through Cyprus up here to Greece and up into Europe. And they were in the process of making arrangements to provide Europe with a lot of natural gas. You may have heard Europe sweltering in the summer heat. They don't have air conditioning. And they normally don't have a lot of air conditioning. What air conditioning they do have, they have no natural gas to run it. And this winter, is going to be a potential disaster for them because they don't have natural gas. They cut out all of their fuel oil because going green. And Europe is in a problem, and Israel is trying to help them solve that by selling them natural gas. But now you've got Turkey that wants to block that. You've got Russia that wants to gain that those sales back because they need the money. And you've got Russia and Turkey that are becoming very good allies. In the last few years, Russia has sent money to Turkey to build dams and to help with their infrastructure, their electrical infrastructure, and other things. And they've sent engineering crews and other things into Turkey, and Turkey and Russia have become much closer. A number of years ago, Turkey was a strong U.S. ally. This would have been probably 50 years ago, when I was really just coming out of my teens, probably even 60 years ago. I had an uncle who was a colonel in the United States Air Force, and he was actually stationed in Turkey. And we had a major U.S. air base there, and he was stationed on that air base. And we were strong allies with Turkey. And that's how Turkey was part of NATO and was considered one of our strong NATO allies. Today, even though they're still a member of NATO, it's very questionable whose defense they would come to if there was actually a conflict between the U.S. and Russia. As many of our other NATO allies just didn't show up with the problems with Iran. But this is all changing. This political alliance is here. They're aligning with Russia. And then at the same time, Russia is aligning, like I mentioned on Wednesday, with Libya. A number of years ago, the U.S. government attacked Libya and removed the Libyan president or prime minister, I don't know which they went by, and he was killed. His government had been bombed by Ronald Reagan because he was beginning to cause problems for the U.S. Reagan went in and bombed him and killed some of his family members. And after that, he became a very quiet leader. He didn't create problems. As a matter of fact, I read a book on what was like in Libya, and Libya was one of the better Muslim countries in the Middle East. They gave their people a lot of things free that was supported by their oil industry. And then under the U.S. government, they went in and Gaddafi was killed. The government changed. And today they are a strong, strong, volatile Muslim government. And they're also, Libya is aligning with Russia because Russia lost its warm Mediterranean ports in what's going on in the Middle East between Hezbollah and Israel, and their ports along Syria's border, and they also lost Assad as being the leader of Syria. He was overthrown, and Assad fled to Russia. He was a strong ally of Russia. They had ports in Syria and in northern Lebanon, and today those ports are no longer there. And where they moved them to was Libya on the Mediterranean Sea. And so Russia has ports on the Mediterranean Sea now, so they have warm water ports on the Mediterranean in Libya. At the same time, you've probably heard a lot about what's happening down in here. Well, where it is referring to as Ethiopia is really this whole area that is south of Egypt. And it's in the original languages, it also refers to this area as the land of Ham. And you see that just seeing the tip of Ethiopia here, Sudan and Ethiopia are referred to in this as one. Sudan, it still is divided into northern and southern Sudan. Northern Sudan was Islamic, Southern Sudan was Christian. The Muslims from Northern Sudan are raiding Southern Sudan and killing Christians. You never hear about it on the news, but they slaughter Christians, they murder Christians, they destroy their villages, they destroy their crops, they steal their thing. And so gradually Sudan is becoming more and more Muslim, and they're also becoming more and more aligned with Russia and more aligned with Turkey. And in the history of in the modern history, there has never been an alignment with Libya, Sudan, Ethiopia, Russia, Turkey, and Persia or Iran. And today you have it. These are the main players that Ezekiel says are going to come in a war that's going to come against Israel. And as we read that passage today, it said that they're going to come in a war against Israel when Israel's not going to expect it. Why? Because Israel's going to be at peace. Well, is the war coming tomorrow? I doubt if it's coming tomorrow because Israel's still got enemies all around it. But I just read another article that talked about how Hezbollah, the current president of Syria, is aligning troops on the Lebanese border, and he's planning on going in and wiping out Hezbollah. And he is the former head of ISIS, yes. But now he shaves his beard nice, trims it up nice, wears a three-piece suit, goes to all the meetings of world leaders, and talks really nice. But he hasn't changed his political views. But ISIS also was in opposition. You have the Sunnis and the Shiites. They were in opposition to Hezbollah, who was aligned with Iran. He was in opposition to Iran. And now he's talking about how he's going to bring peace to the Middle East by going in and destroying Hezbollah for Israel's sake. When at the same time, Israel is still concerned about him. And they've still got troops on the Syrian border. And they have the Syrians have also gone in and destroyed the Druze, who are a group of people who've got a strange religion. It's kind of a combination of Islam and other religions, but they're very pro-Israel. They're also very pro whatever country they're in, and their current Syrian government is killing the Druze, and so Israeli Druze, many of them live in northern Israel, they are encouraging the Israeli army to go in and defend their fellow Druze, and Israel has done that to an extent, and so they have become, Israel has become more active on the northern border of the southern border of Syria, northern border of Israel, and this area right in here where they're defending the Druze. And so that's taking place at the same time. The same guy that's going to destroy Hezbollah for Israel is also killing the Druze. It's just the dynamics there. You don't hear about it, most of it on the news. So all of these things are happening. But we saw one thing that it talks about is that when Israel is going to be attacked, it is going to be Israel, because it says it's going to be the mountains of Israel where the people have been called back to their land. And that's exactly what's happened. That's where Israel is. It's the nation of Israel, the Jewish people that have been called back to their land, and they've been called back to the mountains of Israel. Now, as it says there, when they're attacked, they're going to attack a city of unwalled villages. Now, what does that mean? What does that term mean, unwalled villages? Well, if you go and look when Ezekiel is writing this, people would know immediately what an unwalled village was. Back then, attacks were by land. You didn't have aircraft. You didn't have missiles. You didn't have all of these things. So it was attacks by land. And so what the people would do to prevent their villages or cities from being overrun, they build walls around them. Earlier in Ezekiel, it said that there was watchmen that were put on the wall, and the watchmen that were put on the wall, they had one job. Their job was to constantly look at the horizon because they didn't have radar, they didn't have drones with cameras, They didn't have satellites. The only way that they could see their enemies was coming was either to send out spies and look and spy out the land, or put a watchman on the wall, and his job was to watch the horizon and saw if he and see if he would see a lot of movement of an army that was coming. If he saw a movement of an army that was coming, he was to warn the people within the city, and they were to prepare for battle. And what Ezekiel said is if the watchman called out, he was doing his job, and he had not failed. And if the people did not want to listen to them, and they were slaughtered, their blood would not be upon his head. However, if he didn't do his job, and the people didn't know, and they were slaughtered by their enemy, then their blood would be upon his head. And basically, that portion of Ezekiel was talking about the importance of looking to the future, looking to the prophetic word of God, and warning. And that we are to be watchmen on the wall. Now, today we're to be watchmen, and we talked this morning out of the book of Romans, the fact that our culture is such that we need to warn against the wickedness in our culture and warn people of the snares that Satan is laying and how he desires to destroy them. That's our responsibility as Christians, to warn and to share the gospel and to share the hope of deliverance. And also, we are to warn prophetically of events that will come. And one of the things that we need to realize is a lot of people say, well, I really don't believe that this is ever going to happen. Well, a lot of people never thought that country with that country with that country with that country with that country would be five major alignments in the last days, and yet we're seeing it. And they never thought you'd see the hatred and anti-Semitism towards Israel, where it seems as if all the nations of the world are beginning to turn on Israel. And if you look at it, it makes absolutely no sense. Israel is really the only friend the United States has got in the Middle East that you can really trust and call a friend. They're the inventors of literally hundreds, if not thousands, of patents and things. Much of our technology, modern technology, is attributable to the Israeli scientists. And Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. It's the only place in the Middle East where Christians, Muslims, and Jews live together. And they all can be citizens of the same land. Go try to find Christians and Jews in most Muslim countries. You won't find them. Or if they're there, they won't be there long. Like right now in Persia. Persia is seeing one of the largest influxes of believers in the Middle East, where people are coming to Christ. And if they're found out, they're either thrown in prison or beheaded by the current regime. You cannot have a Bible in the Muslim countries of the Middle East. And that's even the quote, moderate ones that are our friends. You still can't have a Bible. If you're caught with a Bible, giving a Bible to an Arab in a Muslim country, you will be thrown in prison or killed. And that's in the friendly Muslim countries. So we see that's all still in the Middle East, but there's coming a day where Israel will be at peace. Now, some things, interesting things have been happening internationally along those lines as well. You've had the Abraham Accords. And the Abraham Accords have begun to align Bahrain, Kuwait. I think they're trying to get Saudi Arabia to join. I don't think they have yet. The United Arab Emirates is one of the main ones that joined. They recently even bought defense weapons from Israel, anti-rocket weapons from Israel, and they are willing to go to defense with Israel, on behalf of Israel. And that's why you're seeing what happened right now. United Arab Emirates and even Saudi Arabia are threatening to attack. I believe Saudi Arabia attacked Iraq yesterday. And the thing is, one of the reasons they are is because there's these Abraham Accords where these Muslim countries are joining together, and they're joining together in a trade and an agreement with Israel. Now, what is going to happen? I believe that eventually you're going to see Iraq being muffled down, and they're seeing that happen right now. I believe that when that happens, their little proxies and the nations like Libya and Sudan and will be muffled down as well. Iran will be muffled down. Iraq really is, the U.S. is trying to work out peace agreements with Iraq right now. I don't know if you saw they had the, I believe it was a new president of Iraq or premier of Iraq, a very young guy, a good-looking guy, well-dressed, Western-dressed, was at the White House for meetings with President Trump, and they're trying to get this area. Trump's goal is to bring peace to the Middle East. And the problem is, it says, no one will ultimately be able to bring peace to the Middle East until the Antichrist comes. Then he is going to bring the consummate peace. I personally don't think that Trump is the Antichrist, but I think he's doing a lot of things to lay ground for the Antichrist, like his peace wall in Gaza, and what he's doing with the Abraham Accords, where he's bringing together these nations. But what it says in Ezekiel, when Israel is going to be attacked in the Ezekiel war, there'll be a nation of unwalled villages. That is, they will have their defenses down because they will feel that they're at peace. Right now in Israel, they've got elections coming up. Netanyahu may be in trouble. The only reason he's in trouble, the people are getting tired of war. They've been at war since October 7th. And they're tired of going into bomb shelters. They're tired of seeing their young men moving further and further into Lebanon to make sure that Hezbollah is moved out. They're tired of seeing their young Air Force people flying sorties over Iran and bombing Iran. And so they're concerned that Netanyahu may have a hard time getting reelected. If he does not get reelected, there are some people that would seek that position that would not be as defensive of the nation of Israel as he is. And they would not put the military, and if they do that, they may get concessions from the Muslims, because the Muslims say what? They can lie to you to achieve their goal. So they could lie to Israel and say, we won't attack, and we'll be at peace with you, while the whole time you've got this little group of people trying to figure out how to attack. Now, in closing, I just want to bring one other thing out to you, is what's going to ultimately bring about this attack? These events have to align themselves. They have to do what God says. But it says at the beginning of chapter 38, and it says in verse 4, and I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army. Who is going to bring the nations against Israel? It's ultimately going to be God. And why is it? It's going to be, number one, judgment against those nations for hating Israel and hating God. But secondly, it's because Israel will be so defenseless that these nations should just be able to come in and wipe them out in a minute. And instead, God is going to be able to prevent that from happening, which we're going to look at next week. And the thing is, when that happens, it's going to open the nation of Israel's eyes to the fact God is real. And so there's two goals. One is to destroy God's enemies, judge them, and the second is to begin to open the eyes of the people of Israel that God does exist, that He is real. And the thing, other thing that you is interesting as you look at this, is that you see that Israel today is beginning to open up to the Lord Jesus already. We just got a report from one of the ministries we support, and there's 10 times more exposure to the gospel in Israel today than there was just 5 or 6 years ago. And so God is at work amongst the Jewish people and amongst the Arabs in Israel. And the thing is, what you're seeing here is the events aligning themselves, even as Jesus said in chapter 24 of Matthew, where he said, ethnos against ethnos, ethnic group against ethnic group would happen in the last days, and that there'd be wars and rumors of wars. And then we see one of the specific wars that's foretold in Ezekiel chapter 38. Let's just close. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given to us to study your word. Lord, we thank you for the book of Ezekiel and how that you revealed through him events that we see could be putting into place even the day in which we live to occur. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be ready and help us to see that we need to be watchmen on the wall, warning of the hour in which we live, warning of the events that are happening around us, warning of Satan's attacks upon the church and Satan's desire to enslave people to sin, and Lord, that people would be set free by the gospel in Jesus. Lord, go with us now, and this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to hymn number 403. 403.